What's up, girl?
How are you doing?
I'm in a good mood. I feel silly today. I've been laughing.
That's good. It's good to laugh.
Yeah, I got good vibes. Yes.
Y'all can't see this, but this lady just be rubbing her shirt and stuff.
I'm in a good mood. I feel good. I want y'all to feel good. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm fine. Me too. I'm aware at my senses. Still creating.
I'm thankful.
Yes.
I am so thankful.
I'm grateful. I'm fine.
I'm Angela the mom.
I'm Roger the daughter.
And this is Talking Brown Sugar.
Find us online
Facebook and Instagram
at Talking Brown Sugar,
Twitter
at Talking Brown Sugar,
email
at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com,
YouTube.
Subscribe to us on YouTube, like, comment, and share across the web. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story.
This is my song.
Praising my Savior
all the day long. Sugar Bowl, random thoughts time.
Mom. Yeah. Oh, it's so much to talk about. It's a beautiful thing. You can get your blessings from all kinds of situations. And learn from them. The Lord will remind you he's in control. He's in everything we do. I went to a beautiful going home yesterday. And the service was really touching. And it reminded me that God's in control of everything. Mm-hmm. Like a birth, a celebration, a death. It don't have to always be sad and crazy and depressing. And the choir was so outstanding, you know. I think we just get our blessings from unexpected blessings. You don't even think about it. Like, Lord, you already know. He knows our heart when we can't even speak. He knows our mind, and he sets our paths. And that's my little random thought.
Just be blessed. That's beautiful. Yes. Going away ceremonies, funerals, they're very, I guess, prepping you for a moment of reflection. Whether you're willing to or not. I know that's what it is for me, reflecting on the person you're celebrating and reflecting on the people you're with in celebration of, and just, like, it's a circle of life.
It is.
And it moves us all.
Good, good, good. Yes.
Yeah, my random thought is just similar to what we were singing. Tell your story. You can help yourself and others. This is just a reminder that what your testimony is, what you've been through, what you are learning is important. What you're experiencing is an important thing. We are making history every day. And you are a part of that. So tell people what you got going on. Tell people what you're doing. Tell people what you're up to, what you want to do, what you want to see for the future. Because we all matter. And I know in this age of content creation for consumption, to sell things, is a motivating factor for a lot of people. But you can just tell your story just to connect, to get it off your chest. I mean, it can't hurt you. You don't need to be going and telling all your business. And you got to tell it to everybody. But tell your story. Whether you write it down, you put it on TikTok, you put it in a poem. Tell your story. And a testimony in, you know, church, to your community, people you reach out. Having girl time, man, boy time, whatever you do when you go out with your people. Tell your story. Tell people what's going on with you. How you doing? What you think about? You got to get back to connecting. Get back to the basics. Because we're at an all-time high for hate, segregation, separation. Hey. And it's just time to continue to connect as we naturally do. It's in all of us to want to connect, to talk about things. Look at y'all talking about Cat Williams and Club Shay Shay. We still talking about it. It's at, what, 47 million views now? We talked about it last episode. But we're still talking about it. Because what we want to do, we want to talk, we want to connect, we want to laugh, we want to enjoy things. We want to reflect, we want to tell the truth. So go ahead and get it out there.
I'm speechless because you know what? We didn't get paid by it. It didn't put no coins in my pocket.
That's a word. That's a word.
Sugar cubes, aka the news, will put a little sugar in your cup.
Yes, the first story we have up, the IRS update, what Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App users should know about their 2023 taxes. So the IRS has delayed its 1099K update, but freelancers should prepare for tax reporting changes in 2024. So this year, the IRS plans to finally start implementing the new 1099K reporting requirement for anyone earning income via a third-party payment app such as PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, or Zelle. Originally slated to take effect in 2022, the IRS is reporting a change will eventually have payment apps report income over $600 to the tax agency. Previously, third-party apps only sent 1099Ks to users who received $20,000 in commercial payments across more than 200 transactions. So the IRS delayed that new reporting rule for 2 years in a row to give payment apps more time to prepare for the change. One striking point distinguishing between the taxable and non-taxable transactions, though, are third-party apps aren't always easy. For example, money your roommate sends you through Venmo for dinner is not taxable. Money received for a graphic design you work on is. The IRS paused implementation to avoid confusion and incorrect earnings being reported. We spent many months gathering feedback from third-party groups and others, and it became increasingly clear that we need additional time effectively to implement the new reporting requirements, said IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel in November of 2023. So starting this year, they're planning to phase the rollout requiring payment apps to report freelancer and business owner earnings over $5,000 instead of $600. So this is in hope of raising the threshold will reduce the risk of inaccuracies while also giving agency and payment apps more time to, you know, prepare for the eventual $600 minimum. So the $600 piece is still coming, it's just not yet. So this year is still capped at $5,000. So if you're sending and receiving money over that amount, be mindful of your tax status changing and needing to be clear on that. So something to think about.
Yeah, watch how you send your money and put in that little memo. What is for? Is it going to be for lunch, rent, food, movie night? Yeah, because they adding up. They looking at everything you do.
Right. So just to be clear, it says under the new reporting requirements, it was first announced by the American Rescue Plan. The apps will be required to report $600 to the IRS, but for 2024, only income over $5,000 will be reported. So if you're self-employed and you're already paying taxes on your total income, even if you don't receive the 1099 form for all of your earnings, it's not the new rule, it's a tax reporting change. So the IRS will be it'll be switching that reporting requirement to payment apps so it can keep tabs on transactions that are often going unreported. So yeah, you're already still required to report on your income if you're a freelancer. It's just that you might not receive the 1099K unless you receive over $20,000 in payments across 200 transactions in 2023. So now you will still receive the 1099 NEC from any business you work with. Even if you don't receive a tax form from the client, you're still on the hook for reporting all of your self-employment income. And yeah, all the payment apps that are included, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, and Cash App. So other platforms freelancers may use, such as Fiverr or Upwork, are also on the hook to begin reporting payments that freelancers receive throughout the year. So yeah, if you earn income from those, it's a good idea to set up separate PayPal and Zelle, Cash App, or Venmo accounts for your professional transactions. That can prevent notable changes of money sent or charges of money sent from family and friends being included in your 1099K and error And so the other big question is, will the IRS tax money that you send to family or friend? So rumors have circulated the IRS is cracking down on money sent to family and friends through third-party payment apps, but that is a true personal transaction involving gifts, favors, or reimbursements are not considered taxable. Some examples of non-taxable transactions include money received from a family member as a holiday or birthday gift, money received from a friend covering a portion of their restaurant bill, money received from your roommate or partner for their share of the rent and utilities. So don't sweat. Just be mindful if you're a freelancer or an entrepreneur, you know, you have your own business and you're taking money via those payment apps. And our last story, this is more on a history note. Something I learned recently is that Charles Frederick Page is a forgotten black aviator who soared the sky before the Wright brothers. So if you know, in North Carolina, is big history and popular history that the Wright brothers were, you know, first to fly, first in the sky via planes. But this actually may not be true. And so Charles Frederick Page, his name has been conspicuously absent, overshadowed by the more celebrated figures like the Wright brothers. But his innovation basically tells a story of unyielding resilience in the face of systemic racial oppression. He was born into slavery. He taught himself how to read and write and adventured into the realm of aviation. He patented an airship in 1906. This predates the Wright brothers' patent. So this is significant because his invention cannot be overstated. It's not merely an airship. It's symbolized as a technological breakthrough and a bold leap into the future where flight will become a pivotal part of human progress. However, his achievement took place against the backdrop of the Jim Crow era at the time, and it was characterized by a relentless white supremacy and racial segregation. So what happened was he spent, I think, more than his life savings to pay for the development, the patent, and for his airship to be shipped to a competition in St. Louis. And his family, who's now fighting for his recognition, believes that his invention would have won. But miraculously, his invention did not make it there, and it basically disappeared. So they had no way of knowing what happened to it because of racism, and they think it was destroyed en route or when it got to the location for the fair and the competition. Rather than, you know, work to get the money up, he, you know, had a family at the time, so he said it wasn't worth it to save up that amount of money and put his family at risk of homelessness, hunger, all that stuff. So he became a farmer and started working to make coal. He made bricks and things like that, and made a lot of contributions to his immediate community while helping his family grow and have a legacy. Yeah, we wanted to bring this up to celebrate Black history, which is American history.
It is. And I remember touching bases about this gentleman, but I could not get his name. And now, since you know, Charles Frederick Page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so many inventions that our Black historians have made, have paved the way for this United States, and there's no recognition, or the recognition is stolen and putting other people's names on the product. And then when you look through your archives, you'd be like, wait a minute, and check the dates. This is not fair. We're always on top of our game. We are inventors every day.
Yeah, just... Who else would be thinking about ways to make things easier?
And I'm not trying to make a joke out of it, but we're always trying to find some way to get away.
Right, to get away, yeah.
We're trying to go back to wherever we started, our home.
To fly, you know, to go to the sky.
To get away.
We always been fly.
Always. You get it?
But yes, to be clear, his patent was 3 years before the Wright brothers. So at the same time they were starting to think about flight, he had patented his airship model. And it was a different model. His balloons to make a propulsion function from his airship. Yeah, but his family is working on getting a historical landmark in Pineville. And so they have that coming recently. I think it's as recent as 2023. So it's something to remember.
Yeah.
And think about that there are so many different inventions from people. And speaking of inventions, we're going to talk about some more from North Carolina.
We're going to take a little break to our commercial.
Hey, cool cats. This is your Mini Show Check-In. And we want to say, if you really fuck with us, go ahead and subscribe on YouTube. Hit us with a review. Leave us 5 stars wherever you listen. And let everyone know that you are listening to and enjoying the smooth goings of Talking Brown Sugar. Yeah, baby.
Going into our main discussion on some adventures in North Carolina. The Gatling gun had first North Carolina 1861. In 1862, Richard Jordan Catlin invented a multi-barreled rotating gun operated by a hand crank that could fire up to 200 rounds a minute. Imagine that. Used only a few times during the Civil War, the Gatling gun would later become the first wildly successful machine gun. Did you know Richard Gatling had an actual hope that the tremendous power of his new weapon would discourage large scales of battles and show the folly of the war?
Yeah, he thought wrong. Unfortunately, that's like, and what we know now is you don't need nothing that wild that to do that much damage. You do, in a larger sense of the world, and all the things we think about with war. But that's so devastating. But yeah, we're starting off hot. Second invention, overalls from Clinton, North Carolina. Those came about in 1859. Abigail Carter of Clinton invented a pair of overalls designed for her husband, who was a railroad engineer. The sturdy overalls were worn so well, other railroad men began asking for them. Carter opened a business and became the first manufacturer of overalls in the United States.
I like me some jeans. And this is a good favorite. I remember we used to play with this as kids. We ain't supposed to. Vicks Vapor Rub, Selma, North Carolina, 1890. Vicks Vapor Rub was invented by Lunsford Richardson. He went to Davidson College of the class of 1875. He first called it Richardson's Magic Group. Pneumonia Cure Salve, the Vicks Magic Salve, and finally Vicks Vapor Rub, after his doctor brother-in-law helped him out. Now they got a new vapor stick.
Yeah, because you put it on your hand smells like Vicks all day. Yeah, just opening all your pores.
I know, I used to love it.
Burning, tearing up, your chest opening up. Put some on your feet before you go to bed.
This is good.
Next, we have Pepsi Cola from New Bern, North Carolina in 1883.
Sip,
100 years before I was born. Pepsi was first invented in 1883 as Brad's drink by Caleb Bradham, who sold the drink at his drugstore in New Bern, North Carolina. It was renamed Pepsi Cola in 1898. Pepsi because it was advertised to relieve dyspepsia, or indigestion, and cola, referring to the cola flavor.
I like me some Pepsi.
Pepsi or Coca-Cola?
Which BC one? Headache Powder, Durham, North Carolina. BC Powder was conceived at the Five Points Drugstore, which is in Durham. I know where that was located. BC Remedy Building in Durham, North Carolina, now owned by the Measurement Incorporated. It was developed in 1906 by CT Council in the Durham, North Carolina Bull City People Pharmacy of Gorham Bernard. Jermaine Bernard. The name was created from the initials of the pair's surnames, B.C.
Yes. Then we have headache powders, goodies, Winston-Salem in 1932. Put it in the people's hands, and if they try it and they like it, they'll buy it. Remarked Lawin's daughter, Ann Lawin Spencer, concerning her father's marketing strategy. The company targeted prospective repeating customers, lower tobacco and textile mill workers. So they said, we know your headache is going to be something serious. So that's why they marketed it, because the powders were the same as BC powders. And then we have Cheerwine Soda.
1917. Oh, that's a good year. L.D. Piller created Cheerwine in 1917 in Salisbury, North Carolina, amid a sugar shortage. What? His drive to start his own soft drink led him to a salesman from St. Louis, who sold him a wild cherry flavor that blended well with other flavors. With the perfect taste secured, he needed a name with the burgundy red color and cherry disposition. The name Cheerwine simply made sense. The taste sensation known as Cheerwine was born. This cherry soda from North Carolina was a bubbly, effervescent, and one-of-a-kind taste because an instant hit. I like Cheerwine with vanilla ice cream afloat.
I've not had that, I don't think, in a long time.
I like it.
So, it's a cherry soda then?
Yeah.
I don't know what flavor I thought it was. It wasn't cherry.
And you know, it depends on, the bottle tastes better to me.
Glass bottle?
Mm-hmm. Then it's in a fountain machine. I don't like it.
Yeah, that aluminum is probably causing some kind of reaction or something.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite, Krispy Kreme donuts, Winston-Salem, 1937. Vernon Rudolph bought a secret yeast-raised donut recipe from Nolens, French chef, rented a building in what is now historic Old Salem in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And he began selling its Krispy Kreme donuts on July 13th, 1937 to local grocery stores and expanded from there. So yeah, everybody loved them a Krispy Kreme donut.
Mm-hmm.
You see that red light special?
You better jump on it. Better jump on it.
You got Texas Pete.
Texas Pete. Put it in your pocketbook, Patti LaBelle. The year was 1929. So how is this a tasty red pepper sauce made in North Carolina happen to be named Texas Pete anyway? Legends has that when Sam Garner and his three sons, Thad, Ralph, and Harold, were trying to come up with a brand name for the spicy new sauce they created, a marketing advisor suggests the name Mexican Joe to connote the quiff's flavor, remnants of a flavor foods of our neighborhood to the south. Nope. Said that the patriarchs of the Garner family, it's got to have an American name. Sam suggested they move across the border to Texas, which also had a reputation for spicy cuisine. Then he glanced at his son Harold, whose nickname was Pete, and the Texas Pete Cowboy was born. Movie cowboys were very popular in the 1930s. Men like Tom Mix, Hopalong Cassidy, representing a sort of a universal image of rugged independence and self-reliance, the perfect ideal for a family business trying to survive tough times. Actually, Texas Pete hot sauce was not the first product the Garner family made and sold. The distinction belonged to the Garner's barbecue sauce.
Yeah, Texas Pete. That's a good name. It's a cute cowboy name.
And it's good. I'm not a spicy person for hot stuff, but I like Texas Pete. Hot fried fish, straight out the grease.
So if you need a name for yourself for like gaming, or if you need a stripper name or something, just pick a location and pick a nickname. And there you have it.
Bam.
The next innovation, we have the barcode retailing innovation from IBM and the RTP. And that came about in 1974-1973. So the first barcodes were developed by a New Jersey engineer in Joseph Woodland in the late 1940s and 50s, but the technology wasn't brought into use largely because the scanners needed to put in the checkout systems into place were too expensive to produce. So in 1973, the supermarket group of executives decided to sort a universal system needed to be adopted and make the checkout stores faster. The formal symbol selection committee developed a set of specifications and invited companies to pitch ideas. Through the RCA had already successfully demonstrated a technology to the committee, the IMB was where Laura worked, submitted a surprise bid. Laura had the advantage of having not worked on a similar project before and was able to tackle the problem with fresh eyes. He adapted Woodland's bullseye-shaped design into the now universally recognizable rectangular barcode The committee unanimously adopted his idea for the semicolon in 1973, which they named the Universal Protocol, or UPC. So that's something you can learn about making shopping easier when you're scanning things. And that gave way to, what did we talk about yesterday? Class, do you guys remember? QR codes.
QR codes.
Up next.
Putt-Putt Miniature Golf. Guess where? Fayetteville, North Carolina, 1954. Don Clayton created the first putt-putt in Fayetteville in 1954. The former insurance salesman, and he was very frustrated by the windmills, waterfalls, and other junk he played through on a miniature golf course. He vowed to design something better. What? 25 cents a hole?
That's a cheap hole.
But it's a fun game. I like putt-putt.
Putt-putt is such a cute game, and you can definitely get angry.
Yes.
If you aren't able to progress and you play with a team, oh my goodness, just believe and hope the wind is on your side.
Or go on there before you've been having a couple of drinks.
Yeah, you need some good timing. Or have some drinks and just go with the flow.
Yeah, have some fun.
Food Lion in Salisbury, North Carolina, 1957. Now a regional grocery store chain and subsidiary of Belgium-based Delzy Group. Food Lion began in 1957 as a one-store operation in Salisbury, North Carolina, under the name Food Town, in the direction of Ralph W. Kettner, after the introduction of the lowest food prices in North Carolina. A concept in 1968, the grocery chain grew from 7 stores to approximately 800 in 1991, the year in which Kettner retired.
That is something else. Jaws of Life. Shelby, North Carolina, 1961. In the 1960s, George Hertz, an avid fan of race cars, created the Jaws of Life as a way to extricate drivers from wrecked cars. The tool used hydraulics to spread and cut pieces of crashed vehicles away from drivers, which they use a lot now and where? Fire departments, police.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good invention.
Yeah, that was life. Saving invention, literally. You say it again. How do you say that? You said jaws.
The jaws of life.
The jaws of life.
Yeah, I remember I used to hear it when I was little. I was looking for something really big, like a some kind of crane.
I did too.
And then when they pull this claw thing out, and
it's bigger than your head.
And when it crushed and pulled, you were like, "Wow, like a can opener on a car." Yeah,
that's something serious. And I don't know if we talked about this or not, but Control Alt Delete, it gets no respect because it was dissed by Bill Gates. Because it was not invented in North Carolina, apparently. We thought it was invented in RTP, but the reality is that David Bradley, a long time, but now retired IBMer and resident of RTP, confirmed to the News and Observer that the PC boot up command for Windows was invented while he worked in Florida. So it turns out the iconic computer reboot command Control Alt Delete wasn't invented in the Research Triangle Park as the state previously advertised. But the inventor did move to RTP about 15 years later, if that counts. But Bill Gates said he wished that it was a one key function, you know, just a single button function. But the IBM keyboard design didn't want to give us our single button, Gates said. This little shade. Apple Mac users only need one key. That's where we are with that. We can give that one back to Florida, I guess. Something good. Finally, something good from Florida. Y'all can have Control Alt Delete. Finally, something good from y'all.
Take it and go.
Finally. And then we have Fortnite Battle Royale. Fortnite Battle Royale is a free-to-play Battle Royale video game that was developed and published. I just gave y'all a new word, developed, by Epic Games. It was released as an early access title for Microsoft Windows, Mac OS, PlayStation, Xbox One in September 2017, and then for iOS in April 2018. The Nintendo Switch in June of that same year, and Android in August of 2018. It's a spinoff from Epic's Fortnite Save the World, a cooperative survival game with construction elements, where players start with no intrinsic advantages and must scavenge for weapons and armor to gain upper hand on their opponents. And so I thought it was cool that they came up with the concept after having a jam session, and they wanted to blend Fortnite with things similar to Gears of War and puzzle games like Terraria. The only reason why it took them so long initially to release it was that they were using Unreal Engine 3 and had to switch to Unreal 4. And they wanted to go on a deeper role-playing game approach to extend the life of the game. But yeah, the game took off. It's very popular. I'm pretty sure you know some kid, adult. You know somebody that plays Fortnite.
Yes. These kids are wearing their parents' credit cards out, too, especially when they don't know girl, it's still hooked up there and they got to buy those.
The babies is scamming to play the daggone games.
They playing it, y'all.
The poor babies, the baby scammers, learning how to do it on YouTube. But what y'all used to say, what we say, it still applies today. If you know that game, you better know your what? That homework, you better know them ABCs. You know how to shoot them digital games, you know how to scam and commit fraud to get them V-Bucks.
All day long.
Virtual dollars. You better know how to budget.
And spell your name.
File a tax or two. That's what you need. Put your head in the book. You better start reading. Like you be reading them rules and how to play the game. Reading them cheat codes. You need to be cheating codes some homework.
And housework.
I know they tired of us.
If you want me to give you some change so you can play the game.
Extend the life of your laundry. How about that? And go do a load. That could apply to everybody. If you have clothes that aren't folded, we're gonna just get everybody that. If you have some clothes that aren't folded, go ahead and fold them clothes. Go, just do it. When the dryer go off, when the dryer do its little song, ding, 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 let you know it's finished. Go ahead and fold them.
Just do it.
I promise you, it feels so good. You don't have to. You know, you didn't start another load and you forgot you didn't fold the stuff out the dryer. Now you gotta unload the dryer and load the washing machine. Then you just sit with a pile of fresh clothes on your bed. Don't do that. Just fold it up.
And word to the wise, and then clean your lint filter out. Clean your lint filter out.
We're gonna leave the lint filter conversation alone. But yeah, do that so you don't start the fire.
Just saying.
For another episode of Talking Brown Sugar.
And we're going to be coming back with some sports and what? Super Bowl.
Yeah, check us out next episode.
I'm Angela's mom.
I'm Mars' little daughter.
We out.
We out.
Baby.
Baby.